holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, He is love. God is love. Amen. But they're not going around the throne going love, love, love. They're going around His throne going holy. 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 Oh, my, 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 my. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands again. Magnify Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Holy, 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 holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're righteous. You're pure. Glory to God. Full of light. Thank you, Jesus. And all that is right and good and pure, holy. 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 That's our God. That's our God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh God. We do see you tonight. We do see you with the eye of faith, holy, seated on the throne of righteousness. Glory to God. You are in charge. We look to you. You are the King. Glory to God on your throne tonight. Be enthroned on our praises. Hallelujah. In all of our thoughts, in all that's said and done, holy, holy, holy. And we accept your invitation, your command to be holy, even as you are holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we ask you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost that burns the chaff, that burns out anything that isn't necessary. Oh, that our sacrifices would be holy and acceptable unto you. We invite the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Consuming fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't He good? We're in the right place at the right time. We're so glad that you've come tonight. Praise the Lord from the different family churches. Praise God. We're glad that you're here. God's got words from heaven for us. Amen. Amen. And signs following. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fire. Fire. Hallelujah. We need some fire. Glory. You know, now that we live in Florida, we don't have much need of a fireplace. So we don't have one. But whenever I'm around a fireplace, I'm a poker. Anybody else a poker? You just can't leave it alone. You know, if it just even starts to go down a little bit, you just got to get in there and move it around and stir it up and get it going again, you know. And sometimes we just need to poke it a little bit. Hallelujah. Because there are things that are in every one of us, things and issues. Everybody say issues. Issues. Not you, but other people, you know. You're here. The people who aren't here have issues. But the issues that we deal with on a daily basis, we're living in a culture. And we said this last night in Allegheny. We You know, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says he was moved with compassion, seeing the multitude scattered, weary and scattered as sheep without an internet. Amazing how the internet has become a source. Resource is fine, but don't make it your source. Amen? It's a helpful tool, but it should never be your source. Amen. It is not a source. It's just a resource. It's just a tool. Amen. But because we have so much at our disposal, we have decided as a culture that we can self-diagnose. We can self-medicate. Come on. We can self-everything. We're a selfie culture. Worship songs in churches around the country, in many cases, not here, in many cases, are selfie songs. It's not, Lord, I worship you. It's, Lord, how do I look in your presence? And everybody's focus, for the majority of people and in our culture, our focus is on self. And so it's very easy to be overwhelmed whenever we come up against obstacles and whenever we come up against issues. And obstacles and issues that we face, so many times, really, it's not the actual problem that's the issue. It's the attitude during the problem. It's how we're thinking about the issue that really is the thing that we need the fire for. You cannot outthink the enemy. He is a master in that realm. Amen. And I heard Brother Hagin say, you know, if the devil can keep you in the realm of reasoning and in the realm of your mind, in the mental realm, he will whip you every time. But if you can keep him in the realm of faith, in the realm of the spirit, you will whip him every time. Amen. We need the fire. We need the fire. Glory to God. Because there are things and issues in our minds, amen, that need to be burned out. Supernaturally. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to go with me to Luke's gospel, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1. My. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord told Brother Hagin, and you know, around here we quote Brother Hagin quite often. We're so grateful for the revelation. Amen. And Brother Hagin preached so many times on Mark's gospel, the 11th chapter, you know, where Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Amen. And the Lord told Brother Hagin way, way, way back when he was beginning teaching some of these revelations to the body of Christ. The Lord told Brother Hagin in that verse, the word say in some form relative to the believer is mentioned three times in that verse. The word believe is only mentioned one time. I have a picture of Brother Hagin on my desk doing this. Because when he preached it, he'd walk around doing this. You know, he'd keep his fingers up for the longest time. Three times say, one time believe. And the Lord told him, he said, you'll have to do three times as much preaching and teaching on the saying part to get people to get it, to get people to understand it. Three times as much preaching and teaching on the saying part as the believing part. And at the time that God gave him that revelation, that was the case. Because people had not heard anything about the saying part. They'd not had that revelation. He was one of those pioneers that came up, you know, you can have or you'll have what you say. Amen. Name it and claim it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for it. Amen. And so Brother Hagin has taught, we've taught, we've perpetuated, praise God. Many people have taken up this mantle and taken up this responsibility to keep on talking about the saying part. But the other day I was meditating on some things and the Lord told me, notice what I told Brother Hagin was, you'll have to do three times as much preaching or teaching on the saying part. Everybody say part. It's still just a part. It's still just a part. Amen. It's not three times more important than the believing part. He just said you'll have to do three times as much preaching and teaching on the saying part to get people to see it. But the saying part is not more important than the believing part. They're both parts. And we're coming into a time now where we're almost, we've swung the pendulum over so far that there are a lot of people just doing the saying. And they've swung into just saying as a work. I'm saying it. And they've neglected the believing part to a degree. And so these reasonings and things that come to our minds during an obstacle, during a crisis, during a situation that we're coming up against, then the thought life kicks in and we try to out-confess it instead of really dealing with unbelief. Amen. They're parts. They have to go together. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here in Luke's gospel, the first chapter, let's look at some things together tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not the subject of faith. Actual faith. Actual faith is real trust in a real relationship with your Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And why is that hard? Why has that become difficult? To trust God. Well, I don't know if I have enough faith. So you don't trust God? Oh, no, I trust God. Oh, no, you. I've heard all the tapes. I know. Sure. But do you trust God? Look here in Luke chapter 1. We have questions. People have questions. Amen. And, you know, pastors, of course, get to deal with these kind of questions all the time. Yeah, but why did this happen? I'm a faith person. Why did this happen? Where did I open the door? Maybe you didn't open a door. The devil's a thief. Amen. As if a burglar just goes around looking for open doors. Oh, can't get in here. They locked the door. No, he just breaks in because he doesn't play fair. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen. The why question, why did this happen? There's a devil. Big news. However, Jesus said, be of good cheer. In this world, you'll have persecution. You'll have tribulation. It's coming. You'll have it. Oh, except faith people. No, you won't ever have any issues. No, he told Peter, Satan has desired to have you. To sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. You're going to have to use it. That's what your faith is for. Hallelujah. Why do you think that we are told, count it all joy? James said, count it joy when you come upon trials and temptations and tests and things like that. Like, seriously, what? Count it what? Why? Because we have the answer. We've already got the answer. Yeah, but I didn't want to do that. There's a lot of things you don't want to do. Your kids go, but I don't want vegetables. I know. Okay, you can have mac and cheese every day. Anything you want, honey. My kids won't eat this. My kids won't eat that. There's a lot of things we don't want. I'm not a parent. I can't meddle there. I can't do it. Can't do it. But there's a commercial on TV for mac and cheese. Because the kid sees broccoli or something and goes, ah, like that. And the mom's like, oh, well, everybody wins when you put mac and cheese on the table. So you come to church. I didn't like that message. Can you give me something I like? I don't want to talk about fighting. I don't want to talk about contending. I want to talk about, oh, I can get a bigger house and I can get more stuff and I can get more, you know. You might have to fight for it. Ew. So we have questions. Our mind thinks, our mind calculates. Amen? You know it as well as I do, that you can catch yourself thinking things that you didn't even start on purpose. You know, your mind can tell you stories. And I've often said it this way, how many of you ever had an argument or a fight with another person without their knowledge? Because your mind made up a whole scenario about the thing, you know, and you did both sides of the conversation, and of course they were meaner than you were. And it never even happened. Lots of things can go on in there. So, Luke chapter 1, we'll get there. Praise the Lord. You know this event in Scripture, but let's dig into something. Praise God. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. You know about Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents, eventual parents of John the Baptist. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Praise God. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So things are not looking good for Zacharias and Elizabeth in the child department. She's never been able to have a child in all the years they've been together and all the years they've been married, and now they're both old. This is a familiar theme in Scripture, actually. And the reason I even like this theme is because it's about life. Coming out of an impossible situation. It gets no more impossible than this. Amen. And so they weren't able to have children. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Here we go. An angel appeared. Glory to God. Something supernatural. Supernatural intervention. This ought to be common for Christians. Amen. This ought to be common for Christians. We have assistance. Amen. If the devil assists with demon activity and demon power, amen, you are not on your own, just you and Google. This time he saw the angel. It appeared, praise God, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." This is good news. Number one, your prayer is heard. Rejoice about that for a while. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. We know it. We know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have the petitions we've desired of Him. So an angel's telling him, "Zacharias, good news. Your prayer is heard." And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is just really, really good news. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Not just you. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Is this getting even better? Zacharias is a priest. And all of a sudden, this angel's telling him, "Your prayer is heard. Your wife's going to have a son." I mean, this is before ultrasound. Come on. They didn't know genders before it happened then. I mean, this is inside information. Not only is she going to have a baby, it's going to be a boy. His name's going to be John. Many will rejoice at his birth, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord. God's going to be impressed with him. This is a lot of detail. Amen. I mean, this is detail. And we go, I think the Lord's trying to tell me something. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Oh my goodness, this is good. If you were a parent, wouldn't you love to hear this about your upcoming child? Wouldn't you like to have this kind of information? Your son is going to be great in the sight of men and in the sight of God, and he's going to do amazing things. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I mean, just like, oh. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Wow. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. I mean, do you need to even keep going? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. If you were here this morning, Kevin mentioned a friend of ours in Colombia, pastor friends of ours in Colombia. They pastor in Cartagena up on the coast, the northern coast of Colombia. And when Pastor Maria Paula, the pastor's wife, they co-pastor, they have about 21, probably 25,000 people in their church. They do five or six services on the weekend to accommodate everybody. They're building a big building that'll seat a bunch of people right now. And but when she was 14 years old, she lived in Bogota and was in, her pastor was Pastor John Romick, who is the director of Rhema Bible College in Bogota. He's been there for many years. He graduated the same year Kevin and I graduated from Rhema. And when she was 14 years old, he recognized the call of God on her and said, I believe you're supposed to preach Wednesday night. Not to the youth, to the whole church at 14. Recognize the call of God on her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not be surprised by the call of God on young people and children. Amen. I've known I was called since I was 5. Wasn't even born again when I got the call of God. But knew it was God. So he can speak, amen. And he says, I've formed you, I've known you, amen. Praise God. And so there are things innate and in an individual in the call of God, amen. In the plan of God. Pastor said this morning, talking about that God has a plan for you. He has a plan. Amen. Like this, he's telling Zacharias his plan. Amen. Not a thought, not an idea, a plan, an actual plan. Amen. And so there are things in the heart and in the mind of God. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered yet. Into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him. Amen. And a lot of people stop there going, you just don't ever know what God's got. I mean, whatever happens then must be the will of God because you don't know. But he said, but they are revealed unto us by his Spirit in the inner man. Amen. We're to have these encounters with God where we know things. Where he reveals things. Amen. And when he reveals things, it ought to settle your heart. So that when the obstacle comes, when the crisis presents itself, you have already settled what God has said. But we have not really treated what God has said, amen, as his plan for our life. We have treated it as a suggestion. If it feels good to you, if it works out for you, good. This is what I would like for your life to turn out like. But you never know. That's how we generally people go through life. We need fire. I said, we need fire. We need supernatural, like fire from heaven. Amen. That Elijah called down on the sacrifice. Choose who you're going to serve this day. The God who answers by fire. He will go in the spirit and power of Elijah, verse 17, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, here we go. He's got a question. You might have some questions in whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, whatever you see in your future, you might have some questions. Zechariah has a question. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, Zechariah has just heard the best news of his entire life. And his question to the angel was, how do I know this is true? I know what you said, but can you give me something else? Can you confirm this? I need a second opinion. Old Testament said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is the arm of the Lord revealed to? The ones who believe his report. Amen. Well, what is his report? What he has said. Amen. I hear this word report often. Because, you know, we're in the healing ministry. We're in the healing business. Glory to God. And God has called us to be specialists in an area. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we've given ourselves to it. And in this area, we hear this phrase a lot. I'm believing for a good report. Where are you looking for it? Where are you looking for it? We're going to get tests done. And we're believing for a good report. Wrong. You might, wait a minute, wrong? What's wrong about that? Who are you believing for the good report? You've already got one from God. What you're looking for is for the doctor to give you a good report. I'll know it's God if the doctor can agree with him. I'm not against doctors. And my fight's not with the doctor. He only knows what he knows. Thank God for what he knows. Or she knows. Amen. Thankful. Lots of help. Amen. But they only know what they know. And what they've experienced. Amen. Unless they can hook up with something supernatural. Amen. I just went for an eye exam the other day because I need some motorcycle glasses because I have been given a Harley. Been bikeless for about 4 years and so it's on its way. It's in Oklahoma City right now. And it's on its way to Orlando. Praise the Lord. So I needed some new motorcycle glasses because prescription. So I went to the eye doctor the other day. And so he's doing the eye exam. And I really only go like every 3 years or so. It's, my eyes are real good. And so I just need a little crispiness out, you know, a little bit distance. And so anyhow... the doctor's talking to me, and so he says, well, you know, I see your age, and just looking at in your eye, and it looks a little cloudy in the back of your eye, and so that looks like the beginning of a cataract, and so, you know, we all get them. We all get them, so, you know, have you had any symptoms? No, no. Well, when you start getting this and this and this, you know, well, I didn't go, no, doctor, that's not right. Because honestly, what he told me doesn't faze me. He's only telling me what he knows by experience, by his experience. I don't live by experience. I live by the word of God. I have a choice now to believe a different report. I don't need him to give me a report that I like. His report has no bearing on God's report. We've put too much weight on whether the doctor can... I told the doctor he's lying. He's not lying. I've had people tell me. I called the doctor a liar. I thought, bless your heart. Call the doctor a liar. He's telling you exactly what he found. He's telling you exactly what he sees. He's not lying. But you have a choice after the fact what you're going to believe. He's not your enemy. Amen. So Zacharias goes, how do I know this is true? I know what you said. It all sounds really good. But now, how do I know this is true? This is the wrong question to ask. Now, God doesn't mind questions. Amen? Questions are fine. Because if you ask a question, it means you're expecting an answer. You're expecting a dialogue. This is good. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The dialogue is good. Amen? But watch out what you ask. How do I know this is true? He said. Why is this the wrong question? The angel answers it very well. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. That's your answer. How do I know this is true? I'm Gabriel. I was just with God. And he sent me to tell you this. What was your question again? How do I know this is true? Oh, well, because God just told me to tell you all this good news. Isn't it awesome? Huh. Well, I don't. It's a lot to swallow because I'm old and my wife is old and none of this sounds possible. How do I know what you're saying is true? Because I was just with God. And he sent me to tell you this amazing report. Isn't it awesome? Angels have zero capacity for unbelief. Remember the angels at the tomb of Jesus on the resurrection when the women came and brought the spices and all that, you know, on the third day, and they come there and the angels are going, why are you here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. Why are you here? Don't you remember what he told you? That's what they said. The angel said, don't you remember what he told you he would be here. Why are you here? Why in the world would you be here? Well, because he was dead when we put him in there. Yeah, but he told you he wouldn't be here. I don't get why you're here. Yeah, but just in case it didn't work out that way, so. Because, you know, that's not normal. It's not reasonable. It's not the way things go. It's not, I mean, he was dead. Wasn't he dead? He was dead, right? He was dead. That doesn't happen, right? Resurrection? Who does that? So, verse 20, are you all right? So verse 20, the angel says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. Now, maybe you've heard this taught before you came to a church like this. Maybe you heard this taught that this was the sign, you know, that Zechariah said, can you give me a sign that this will all be true? So the angel said, okay, you won't be able to talk. There's your sign. That's not what happened here. Gabriel did not oblige him and give him a sign. He said, you will not be able to speak. You will be mute and not be able to speak. Why? He gives him the answer. Why? Because you did not believe my words. Not because I'm giving you a sign, but because you did not believe my words. Therefore, we cannot use your words for the next 9 months because you will mess it up. You have already proven to us. You cannot be trusted with words already given to you. We're going to need you to be quiet. We're going to need you to not give us anything else. We don't need your opinion. We don't need your thoughts. We don't need your ideas. We don't need your help. You just have to watch it happen because you didn't believe. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And the rest is history. Praise the Lord. Things transpired, in other words. So now Elizabeth is with child. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Amen. Only supernatural. Glory to God. And so Mary now, it comes into the picture. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same angel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." More good news. "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest." Oh my goodness. You remember, she's a teenager. She's getting some amazing news. "The Son of the Highest and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, here's a question. Here's a question. "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" This is a different question than Zechariah's question. Zechariah said, "How will I know this?" She said, "How will this be?" Which means she already believes it to be. She has already accepted the words. She just wants to know how it's going to happen. Can you see the difference? Zechariah heard good news and said, "How do I know this is true?" She heard the news. Same impossible situation. Elizabeth was barren, could not have children. Mary, a virgin, never with a man. Same impossibility. Hello. There is zero possibility of a life coming out of either one of these. I don't know what's dead in your body. I don't know what's dead in your marriage. I don't know what's dead in your life. I don't know what's impossible, but I know God, who specializes in impossibilities. What is impossible with man is still possible. Come on. Still possible. Still possible with God. But what question have you been asking? Which side of this question have you been on while you've been in the middle of this deadness? What's your question? Why did this happen? How do I know what God said, but I know what God said, but the doctor said this. I know what God said, but this runs in my family. I know what God said, but I was born with this. I know what God said, but this is what I'm experiencing. I know what God said, but. I know what God said, but. I know what God said, but. That's Zacharias. And your words. Amen. Which we know too much about. Your words are working against you. And God is not going to cause you to be mute to get His will accomplished. You've got instruction on how to get His will accomplished in your life. Been instructed about your words. But do you believe it? Yeah, well, I've been confessing. Yeah, what have you been believing? Confessing is just a part. It's just one part. Three times as much confessing will not override what is an unbelief in your heart. Deal with it. Let the fire of God help you burn it out. It's very difficult for us in our stage of development with God and in our churches and in what's preached over the pulpits of the family churches, it's very difficult to acknowledge or to admit that anybody's been in unbelief. How is that possible? Unbelief. When the women came to the tomb, and the angel said, "Why are you here? Don't you remember what he said?" "Yeah, but we this is what you do with dead bodies." And so they went back and told the disciples, and they went, "Uh-uh." People who were with him every day thought that what the women said were idle tales. So Peter and John run to the tomb, right? Going in, find that there's no body, and walk out going, "What in the world just happened?" Said they were greatly perplexed. They didn't go out shouting victory. "It worked. It's true. What he said is true." They were like, "What? I don't know. None." The guys on the road to Emmaus. In the 24th chapter of Luke, they're on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. Jesus shows up and walks with them. They don't know who he is. He goes, "What are you guys talking about? Why are you sad?" They said, "Are you serious? You're the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been happening?" "Really? What?" "Well, Jesus, we thought he was amazing. We thought he was going to be the one who delivered Israel, but he died, and now it's been 3 days since it happened, and the women who went to the tomb said that he wasn't there. They said they saw angels. We don't know what to think about this." And they're talking to Jesus. We would never think we would say to him face to face, I know everything you said, but I just don't get it. I don't get how that worked. I don't get it. It doesn't look like what I thought. How could I have gotten this diagnosis? I mean, I've been living for you. I've been working for you. I've been trusting you. I've been all this stuff, right? I mean, how could this happen to me? Instead of going, "Oh, I remember what he said. This came along and, oh, but I remember what he said." So I don't know what's dead. But the Bible says we have been quickened together with him. Hallelujah. Quickened together with him. Praise the Lord. So Mary said, how will this be? Not how do I know it's true, but how will it be? How will it happen? How will this impossible thing be done for me and to me? And here's your answer. Her answer is your answer. Everybody say, her answer is my answer. Are you ready? The angel answered her, verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you. How will this dead thing be raised? The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, now lives in you. The same Spirit. The same Spirit. She said, how is this going to happen? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Oh, game changer. Game changer. Not figure it out. Not treat it. The Holy Spirit will come on you. God Himself will come on you. Try and get it. No, the Holy Spirit. Mary couldn't do anything to make this happen. There's not one thing she could do to make this happen, except her response was, be it unto me according to your word. I accept the Holy Spirit's involvement. I accept the power of the Holy Ghost. Your faith is simply your trust in what He said. Your faith is not a bargaining tool. Amen. It's not what we have this idea somehow that because we know faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. But at the same time, we've decided in some ways, it's not preached, but we've perceived that if faith is going to get the job done, then what I must do is acquire lots and lots of it. And eventually I'll have enough to give back to God in exchange for what He might do for me. And so we kind of carry this around like we're filling up a bucket of faith. And my situation's big and complicated, so it probably needs more faith than what I've already got. So what I've got to do is just keep accumulating faith, and eventually at some point I'll go, God, is this enough to get me what I need? Only believe. It's not a reasoning thing with God. It's not a bargaining thing. It's not a negotiation. It's taking Him at His word. Taking Him at His word. All He asks you is to trust Him. Yet we go, yeah, I know what you said, but believing. No wonder that one man who came to Jesus said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Amen? Believe. Believe. Jairus, you know, came to Jesus. My daughter lies at the point of death. Jesus said, I'll come. Woman with issue of blood came, interrupted the whole thing. Servants come to Jairus, it's too late. Dead, too late. Well, now it's like, well, things have changed. But Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Only keep confessing. No, believe. Believe what? Believe what you already said. If you could get your hands on her, I know she'll be healed and she'll live. Believe that. Believe that. That has not changed. What God has said has not changed. Things have changed. Everybody say things.
Things.
Things have changed. God has not changed. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. But when things change, God still has not. You have a choice. You have a choice to believe. Your mind still may give you fits. That's why we renew it. Amen. That's why we renew it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can believe him. And it doesn't take long to do it. Amen. I said it doesn't take long to believe. That's a choice. You can believe anything. You really can. We really try to take the word unbelievable out of our vocabulary. People go, you're not going to believe this. And I go, well, you just told me something. Now I'm going to have to, I choose to believe it. They say it all the time. You're not going to believe this. And then they tell you what really happened. So they've already set you up to not believe something that has actually happened, because they're going to tell you what has happened, right? This really happened, but you're not going to believe it. That's our culture. This really happened. This is out of the ordinary. This is really weird, but it really happened. But you're not going to believe it. Why do we set each other up like that? You're not going to believe this. Why wouldn't I? You're about to tell me something that actually happened. Right? You're about to tell me something that it's crazy, but it really happened. Why would you tell me I can't believe it? I can believe anything. Why can I believe anything? Because all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible, not to him that confesses. All things are possible to him that believes. These signs will follow them that believe. Not them that want it bad enough. They believe it. You can believe. You can believe anything, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's supernatural. Supernatural. I was in Indiana a month or so ago, a couple months maybe now, for my 40th high school reunion. And after the reunion, we went and ministered at a church about an hour and a half away. And we were there a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. So Sunday morning we ministered, and out in the lobby I came across a young woman, and she just looked really out of place. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't know what I'm doing here. And she looked pretty rough. And she was there with her aunt. Her aunt basically dragged her to church. So I'm looking at her and I'm going, all right, here we go. So I went, hi, I'm Annie. And she told me your name, and I said, sure glad you came today. She goes, yeah, my aunt, you know, she made me come. And I'm not really into this. I said, oh, really? Yeah, no, I'm not really into this. I don't believe much. And she immediately tells me her life story. She said, my father was murdered. And the person who murdered him is about to get out on parole. And she goes, I just don't know what to do with that. I can't take it. I can't stand it. This person should not be out. I mean, she just the anger, the hurt, the all of that's just boiling up like this. And she goes, and I was in the military. I served in the military. I got all kinds of back problems. I'm just. She said, and besides that, my aunt, you know, she's made me come to church, and I don't believe in all this stuff. And she said, my aunt wants me to change my lifestyle. So she's got a lifestyle issue. It was pretty obvious when I saw her. The kind you can kind of notice right away. She goes, my aunt wants me to change my lifestyle. She goes, I'm just going off. And I said, are you coming back tonight? She said, well, I probably have to. I said, well, good. I'm really glad you're coming back. And I said, so you got problems with your back and pain and stuff like that? Yeah. I said, well, God would sure love to fix that for you. She's like, well, why would he do that? You know, why? I don't even believe this stuff. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, if you come back tonight, I said, can I ask you to do this? I said, can I just ask you to come back and open your heart? Just come back with an open mind and an open heart. I said, because right now you're telling me I don't believe this, I don't want this, I don't. I said, you're closed off. I said, you've already decided some things. You've closed some things off. I said, could you come back with an open heart? With just saying, it could happen. Just, it could happen. Just, you could believe that something could happen for you. Well, I don't know if I could. I said, I think you can. I said, I think you can believe anything you want to believe. I said, I think you can come open. I think you can come back and open your heart, and God will do something special for you tonight. Why would he do that? I said, because he loves you. I said, there's people here who love you. I said, obviously your aunt loves you. She brought you here. I said, you've got family. I know there's a lot of stuff that's been happening in your life, but, you know, God's got something different for you. So she came back. Praise the Lord. So she came back that night, and we ministered to several people and got some awesome things happened. And finally, she came up and got in the line to have hands laid on her. And so she came up, and I said, I called her by name. I said, hey, come up here. She goes, how did you know my name? I said, well, you introduced yourself to me this morning. She's just all freaked out. She's like, you know. She goes, I don't know why I'm up here. I don't believe in any of this stuff. I said, well, no. I said, you remember I asked you to come with an open, just open. Just open your heart. See, it doesn't take long to believe. It really doesn't take long to believe. And so actually in the afternoon, I was there at that meeting by myself, and I had texted Kevin, and I said, I asked Kevin to hook up with me and pray for this young lady. And so he did. And I said, I really believe God wants to do something special for her, you know. So we prayed and hooked up with it together. So she's up there, and I said, now, you told me you had some issues with your back and stuff like that. And she goes, yeah, I've had a lot of surgeries. And she goes, really, right now, got a torn rotator cuff. And I said, so it's causing you a lot of pain? Oh, yeah. I said, how far can you lift your shoulder up? And so she demonstrated on the other arm. She wouldn't even lift up the one that was in pain. She said, well, I can only go about this far without pain. I can't go any farther than that. I said, oh, okay, okay. I said, just take my hands like this. Just grab my hands like this. She's looking at me real funny. So I said, just take my hands. And I looked her in the eye. I said, this is as weird as it's going to get right here. She's like, I'm waiting for lightning to hit me. She's like, she's saying all this out loud in front of everybody. She goes, are you sure lightning? I said, no, lightning's going to hit you. And I said, this is as weird as it gets. I said, you okay? She goes, yeah, I'm okay. I said, see, not weird, not weird at all. God loves you, wants to show you some things, you know. And she's like, well, I don't believe this, you know. I said, well, I know what you told me. And so we're talking for a bit while I'm holding her hands. And I said, now move your arm around. And so she starts to move it, and she's like, oh, she gets that pain. I said, okay, stop. I said, now remember, I asked you to just come with an open heart. Just open up your heart for a second. I said, I already showed you this. This isn't weird. I'm not going to do anything weird to you. Nobody's, you know, we're good. And I'm just talking to her, told her about how much God loved her. And we just had a short conversation about the love of God and how much he loved her. I said, now move your shoulder. And all of a sudden she goes. And she looks at me and she goes. She goes, I don't know what you just did to me. I go, I didn't do anything. I said, God just loved you. Because you opened your heart to him. I said, he's got a lot more for you. And she goes, I don't know what you did to me. I don't know. She's just looking at me like, I don't. She's walking back to her seat going. She's looking at her aunt. She's going. Now, she did not lift her hand when I gave an altar call. But she's got a good aunt. She's not out on the street by herself. I trust that God's still moving in her and working in her. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's God's. But here's a person who said, I don't believe any of this. And yet we have believers. Believers. Can we believe? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to change your question. If you have a question with God, change your question. Instead of how do I know this is true, decide what he said is true. Like Mary did. I know this is true. I just don't know how it's going to happen. How will this happen? The Holy Spirit will come on you. Will come on you. How did you get born again? The Holy Spirit came on you. You didn't have to think it. You just received him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Maybe you've been in this doubt place. Haven't really wanted to admit it. Remember when the disciples were in a boat one time and Jesus had told them to go on to the other side and he came to them walking on the water? And the Bible says he would have passed by them. I love that. I love that account where it says, and he would have passed by them. Like, I'm not even going to stop. I'm walking to the other side. Just out for a walk, you know. On the water. And Peter looked at him and said, Lord, is that you? Is that you? If that's you, bid me come to you. And so Jesus said, what can he do? Come. So Peter got out of the boat. Remember? Yay! He did it! Yes, he sank, but yes, he walked. He got out of the boat. He began to walk on the water to go to Jesus. And then his head kicked in. As our minds do. What I'm doing is impossible. How am I doing something that's impossible? I don't do impossible things. I don't have the power to do impossible things. No, but the Holy Spirit on you, in you, can do impossible things. So Peter's going, I don't have. Well, all of a sudden I'm like, well, it sure would be better if this was calm. As if walking on calm water is any easier than walking on wavy water. If only the circumstances could change. If I could just see a difference in my numbers. The numbers, you know, I got these markers and these numbers that the doctors give me. And they say, if I can just get the numbers to here, as if walking on calm water is any different than walking on wavy water. It's impossible, period. How is the impossible going to happen to you? The Holy Spirit. Peter got out and the circumstances didn't change a bit. Jesus has been walking on impossible impossible circumstances for a few miles already. The circumstances didn't change. It was still water. Still impossible. And yet he did it. And so Peter all of a sudden begins to sink. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith. So it wasn't his faith that was the problem. He had faith. His next question was, why did you doubt? You said, if it's me, bid you come. So I said, come. After that, you have a choice to believe what I said or not. It's still about believing what Jesus said to him. It's not about the waves. It's not about the wind. It's not about the situation. It's not the symptom. It's not the doctor's report. It's, do you believe what God said or not? That's your choice. You've got to cling to what God said. Jesus said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You were doing it. Why did you quit? To doubt there in that instance means to stand in two places. To stand in two places. That's called wavering. A double-minded man, James said, is unstable in all his ways. Let that man not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Have we been double-minded? Have some of us at some time been double-minded? I've been double-minded. I'll admit it. I've been there where I stood in two places. That's what the women did with the spices. They were in two places. I know what he said, but we brought these in case it didn't work. Peter's standing on one leg on Jesus' word, on the other leg on what he knows and what he's experienced and what his five senses are telling him at this moment. And this is screaming louder than what Jesus said. You got a choice. Which one are you going to hear? How long will you halt between two opinions? The God who answers by fire is God. Hallelujah. We might need to just have a little repentance right now. Amen. Nothing wrong with repentance. Yeah, but I'm already saved. Yeah, but repent for unbelief. That's the thing we repent for more than anything else. We're not doing crazy stuff, but there's times our heads give us a fit. God, why didn't I believe you earlier? Why did it take so long to believe you? I'm sorry. Forgive me for not believing you right away. I don't know what I was thinking. I know you're faithful. Come on, let's lift up our hands. You tell them right where you are, from your heart. From your heart. From your heart right now. If you need to ask, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Go ahead. Confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, be holy as I am holy. Be pure as I am pure. Let the Holy Spirit burn out the impurity of unbelief. Let the Holy Spirit come on you to fix whatever needs to be resurrected in your life, to bring life to that area of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Collectively, right now, we repent. We repent for not believing you quicker. Huh? But you're faithful. Oh, you're so good to us. Oh, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. You're a rewarder. You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We believe you. Hallelujah. We believe you. Faith pleases you. We trust you. Trust you. Trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when John was born, and, you know, all the people were thinking, you know, what are we going to name him? How quick was Zacharias to go, his name is John. And immediately, he was back on track. Immediately. Kevin said it this morning, one touch from God. One bump from the Holy Ghost. Can change everything. Can change your course. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you have been stuck for a while. Been stuck for a while. This is your answer. You believe it? You believe it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ha 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 ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's blood pressure is being healed right now. Blood pressure is being healed right now. Oh, glory to God, because you made a change. You made the switch. You made the switch. And now what was hard is easy. Glory to God. Easy to receive now. Easy to receive now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You stepped over onto God's side again. You stepped over onto God's side. Hallelujah. That blood pressure is returning to normal now. Right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How do you want to do this, Lord? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you've been stuck, you've been stuck. We'll minister a different way tomorrow night. But if you've been stuck And you've received this as your answer tonight. Hallelujah. Not as a public display, not to show off, not to be embarrassed, not one way or the other either, to be embarrassed or to show people, you know, I got this. None of that. Flesh is out of the way here. This is a safe place. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said it's a safe place. Everybody here is for you. Amen. Everybody here is for you. Glory to God. But if you've been stuck and you believe tonight this has answered your heart, we want to minister to you by the laying on of hands to assist you, praise God, in receiving your healing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So who does that apply to tonight? Let me see your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If that's you, you can stand up so we can see who we need to minister to tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is your answer. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me take and see. 1, 2, 3, 4. These four right here. If you'll come right over here. Just stand behind me like this, one after the other in a line, facing this direction. Praise God. And then this side over here. Kevin, can you show them where to stand? Praise God. Kristen, you can come whichever side you want. I was not going to split you guys up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's lift up our hands. Who is our answer? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our answer. Father God, we trust you tonight. You said in your word, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will be well. We believe you. We believe you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we take you at your word tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the laying on of hands, just to help everybody out tonight. Praise God. Those of you who have come, the laying on of hands is not some bail you out method. Amen. This is not because you're weak. This is not because you just, you know, I know I should be somewhere. I should be able to get this on my own. Get all of that out. Resist the temptation to impress God or the devil. With your faith. It's not to impress him. Amen. He's got tons of methods of ways to get his healing power to us. They're just different ways. One's not better than another. You're demonstrating that you believe God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's start right with you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. What is it you came for?
Just overhaul.
Overhaul.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. What were you stuck in?
Just some things that I've been stuck in.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Has there been any pain involved or mobility issues or anything like that? The reason I ask is so I can help you hook up.
Right. My ankle is one thing.
One thing. Yes. Okay. All right. Hallelujah.
And of course, our minds.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Amen. So let's minister to you tonight. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. We minister now God's healing power, the Holy Spirit coming on you right now to undo all of that, Lord of God, to burn it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now your ankle was one thing, so let's do something now you couldn't do before. Praise God.
I can't do it. It affects how I walk.
Uh-huh. It did before tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amen. Good. You're first, so you get to be the guinea pig tonight in front of everybody.
It's okay.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know you're in this to win it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So do something you couldn't do before, or walk around, do something, because now you can. Praise God. Hallelujah. And by that, you're just responding to the power of God. You're not seeing if something has changed, right? Because that would be Zacharias, right? Let me see if anything has happened. No, he already said, these signs will follow them that believe, right? They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be well. So we're not going to do Zacharias. We're not going to go, let me see if that's true. we're going to do Mary. How's this going to happen? The Holy Ghost is coming on. Well, if that's the case, then it's happening. So we respond then by doing something we couldn't do before. Hallelujah. Amen. Who's next? Praise the Lord. What's up? Financial.
Financial breakthrough.
Yeah. Glory to God. Praise Hallelujah. God. Ha, 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 ha. Same Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Same Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Glory to God. What you know that He has said to you, you're believing it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. According to your word. According to your word, Lord. According to your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Yes, ma'am.
For completion of healing of my eyes, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave me many diagnoses, and I didn't have one of them.
Yeah.
So praise God. And so still dealing with some eye issues, and I want to be done with those
drops. Yeah, amen.
I'm done.
Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now your occupation is not holding you up from receiving from God supernaturally. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Now the Holy Spirit comes on you in a new way. In a new way. Yeah. Supernatural. Supernatural. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's the power of God going into you tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah. Did you feel something?
I did.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was just new things are coming.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Amen. It's different now.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's different now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's going on tonight?
I've just been in a place where I've doubted His love for me and His goodness.
Oh. You got a new choice tonight, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Making that alive. Making it alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ha ha ha. Ha. Yeah, now that was an attack. An attack. That you took personally. And the only reason it feels so personal when it's, you know, about like what you said about just feeling the love of God and doubting the love of God, so that it'll make you stop your assignment. But it can't stop you. Can't stop you. Because you really do know. You really do know it. You really do know it. In your heart of hearts, you know it. Resist now. The power of the Holy Ghost bringing life back into that area in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's the fire. That's the fire. That's the fire. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am.
I have epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been on a lot of medications lately.
Yeah.
And a new diet. They're trying me on. And if it doesn't work, my next step is surgery.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'd like.
Yeah, you ready for the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God to bring life to your brain in ways that only He can.
Yes.
Creating the right pathways. Oh my goodness. Resurrection power. In Jesus' name now, the Holy Spirit is coming on you. Coming on you. With resurrection, life-giving power. Ha, ha, ha. Glory, 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 glory. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's Him. That's Him. That's Him. That's the fire of God tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I'm coming for healing.
What's going on?
I was told that I have an autoimmune disorder.
Yeah.
And I guess
That'll mess with your head. I get it. Yeah. I get it. But now we've got ammunition, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We got a new handle on it tonight. Glory to God. And so now the assistance of the Holy Spirit coming on you to drive the whole thing out. Ha 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 ha. That's right. That's right. You are not alone. You are not alone. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. That includes our own bodies trying to fight itself. It's not against flesh and blood. But now the Holy Spirit brings life in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. That's His power. That's His power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't He good tonight? Yes, ma'am. What's going on?
I need help with forgiveness, with anger, with letting go of control, of trying to make things happen the way I think they should happen so that I can renew my mind and walk into everything that God has for me.
Amen. If I give you an assignment, would you do it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you know the Bible says... Jesus told His disciples, they said, Lord, how many times do we have to forgive? Remember? And Jesus said, what did He say? 70 times 7. I mean, you're thinking, wow, that's a lot. And He said, in a day. Now, I personally believe the reason He said that many times in a day, because you'll think of it that many times in a day. Not that it actually happens that many times, but that you think of it that many times. So here's what the Lord showed me when something came that I had to fight. I answered out of my mouth every time the thought came, but they did this and they did that and they were wrong. And every time I thought it, I said out of my mouth, 70 times 7. Every time the thought came, and I would be tempted to replay the whole scenario again and again and again in my head. I go, 70 times 7. Shut it down. Shut it down. 70 times 7. Because it couldn't say, Lord, I forgive. Lord, I could keep going. Lord, I forgive. Lord, I would just say 70 times 7. I can do this. Why? Because He said I can. Now you're working with Him. Amen. 70 times 7. Amen. Now the anointing's going to come on you. Praise God. And then when the thoughts come, because thoughts still come, when the thought comes, answer it with your mouth out loud, 70 times 7. And watch the power of God go to work for you. You will be so free. I'm telling you.
She's already free.
And when you come out on the other side, you're like, I can do anything. Amen. In the name of Jesus now. The power of the Holy Spirit burns that out. The fire of God answers. In Jesus' name. Burns up the chaff. Burns up the hay and the stubble. So that all that's left is the purity. All that's left is the purity. Ha 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 ha. Be free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. 70 times 7. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Just stress and anxiety, which raises the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Those blasted numbers.
Yeah, those blasted numbers.
But he said, cast all of your care on me. Every anxiety, because He cares for you. That's what he said.
So he said something. As long as he said something, we've got something. Hallelujah. As long as he said something about it, we have our answer. As long as if he didn't say anything about it, we're stuck. But as long as he said something about it, now we've got our answer. We've got our answer. Now it's time to give it to him. Time to give it to him. And the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you right now in Jesus' name. Ah, be free. Be free. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. What's up?
I was doubting the plan.
No way. No, I'm just kidding. Love you. Hallelujah. Praise God. No more.
No more.
No more doubting the plan. No more doubting the plan. Everything he said. Everything he said. It's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. We surrender. And the Holy Spirit now, the Holy Spirit empowers you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Gives you the ability to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come. What's up?
Well, so many things you said spoke directly to me.
Good.
Stuck.
Good.
Fighting his will, just fighting his plan. Thinking, I'm stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
My finances are in the dump.
Well, he's got answers for that, doesn't he? Yeah. Were you here this morning?
I was.
Yeah. Did you hear Pastor talking about getting golf instruction?
I did.
And the instructor said, well, if you want to hit it that way, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it the way I just did it, do what I tell you. What comes across this pulpit is your answer. It's your answer. It's your help. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be stuck in your mind. What it is now is your choice to take your help. Amen. Just do it God's way and watch. You can walk on water. And financially, you can walk on water. Even though sometimes it looks like the circumstances don't even change, but all of a sudden you're like, I still have money at the end of the month. Look at that. Didn't look like any more came in or any more. But look at, we were okay. Because we did it God's way. Because we did it God's way. You keep doing it God's way, you're coming out of it. Coming out of it. Hallelujah. In the name. And by the power of the Holy Spirit now. Because you've made a choice to believe. And now the Holy Spirit can get involved. Yep. In Jesus' name. Fire. Fire. Ooh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have another one on this side? Nope. All right. Praise God. Come on. What is it with you, hon?
Just a lot of mind.
Yeah.
Thoughts in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. And you realize now, don't you, that you got some choices. You're not stuck with just your own thoughts. Sometimes people go, I just need to go get quiet and get alone with my thoughts. You know, that's a really bad decision.
Oh, yeah.
To ever be alone with your thoughts is just a really bad decision. Get alone with his thoughts. Put his thoughts back in there. Amen. That's how we renew our mind, is by putting his thoughts in our mind. Glory to God. So today's a new day. You've made an acknowledgement tonight. Praise God. You were brave. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So all of that creates all that kind of stuff. Sure. Sure. You ready for a good night's sleep tonight? about to change. That's about to change. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. And the power of the Holy Ghost. Right now, that fire of God answers every bit. In Jesus' name, be whole. Whole. Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Are you able to come back to any of these other services? I want to hear tomorrow how you slept tonight. Praise the Lord. Come on, can we lift up our hands and magnify Jesus? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we magnify you. We honor you. We honor you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our eyes are on you. Our affection is on you. You are holy God. Holy God. Truthful. Faithful. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you got some things to chew on in your heart tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. You've got some decisions to be made. Listen, when you come to church, you ought to be challenged to make decisions. Amen. Because there are challenges to take God at His word. Amen. When the angel came to Zechariah and when the angel came to Gabriel, he announced good things. They had decisions then to be made. Amen. Make the right decision. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. I receive it. I take you at your word tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor, we'll just turn this back to you.